in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Congolese basketball player Bismack Biyombo of the Charlotte Hornets, who is helping people in his home country in the fight against the coronavirus. Biyombo has donated $1 million in surgical masks and hazardous material suits that will be used in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The supplies include 4 containers filled with 10,000 face masks and 780 protective hazmat suits, which were delivered this week to the DRC. Biyombo says seeing his home country suffer is devastating. And he also thanked all the doctors and healthcare workers who are on the front lines of the COVID-19 pandemic. Bismack Biyombo is in his 9th season in the National Basketball Association, which postponed its regular season last month because of the coronavirus outbreak. Meanwhile, another African big man in the NBA, Senegalese center Taco Fall of the Boston Celtics, has a special coronavirus message for us.
Hi, everyone. It's Taco Fall. I just wanted to say that now's the time to practice kindness and empathy towards everyone around you. We all doing our best to get through this together, so make sure you do your part. Grab a book, read it to your nieces and nephews and video chat, make a donation of canned goods to your local food bank, or even add some items to your shopping cart for your elderly neighbors. But most importantly, don't forget to just pick up the phone and call somebody and check in. That may mean a lot. You never know. We all can't be next to each other right now, but we still can show how much we care about one another. So visit NBAtogether.com and join us in inspiring acts of caring. Thank you.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out Jim Stevenson's weekly Game Room podcast via voanews.com. In Jim's latest Game Room, he included insights from the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency CEO, Travis Tygart.
Tygart says anti-doping testing reaches its peak in the half year before an event.
From a scientific and a doping standpoint, you know, you're concerned mostly about the 6 months right before a major games, major competition, because that's the time period where athletes are, if they're going to cheat, are going to try to use things like whether it's EPO or human growth hormone or blood transfusions to gain that advantage. And they really need to try to do it within that 6 month period for it to be out of their system by the games, but also still have the performance benefit. And so having a fully operational global system 6 months before the games is the best you can ask for.
Because the 2020 Olympics have been pushed back by a year, anti-doping officials have some relief that their time to test has been extended, especially with regard to the extensive Russian doping scandal.
Now we've bought time to double down on the efforts, but also ensure the Russia case is resolved, and there's really no excuse now for the Russia case not to be resolved.
Athletes completing doping bans over the next year will be eligible to compete in the postponed Tokyo Olympics. It's an unintended effect of the coronavirus pandemic. Some athletes are complaining that the offenders will not miss the events they were supposed to because of their bans. The World Anti-Doping Agency barred Russia from the Olympics for 4 years after ruling last year that doping data from a Moscow laboratory had been manipulated. The Court of Arbitration for Sport is to rule on whether that ban is valid, but hearings have been delayed because of the health crisis. Russian sports minister Oleg Matitsyn wants international authorities to turn a new page and forget Russia's Olympic doping ban because he says a negative ruling would fracture the Olympic movement. The leaders of the International Olympic Committee, the World Anti-Doping Agency, and judges who will decide the ruling should understand that now we're living in completely different conditions, and this crisis which has been created, including the crisis in relationships, should probably come to an end, turn a new page, and understand that the main thing right now is to be together. He added that once the virus outbreak recedes, Russia will offer to hold more international sports events if their current hosts are not able. Matitsyn took over as sports minister in January and is well connected with Olympic sports officials from his longtime leadership of the International University Sports Federation. Last week, the United States Department of Justice said bribes were paid for Russia and Qatar to secure the rights to host the men's World Cups in 2018 and 2022. Prosecutors say millions of dollars had been wired to bank accounts of FIFA executives in exchange for votes. One of the whistleblowers who revealed corruption in the bidding process is Bonita Mercedes, an Australian corporate affairs practitioner, sports administrator, and writer.
I guess you could say it as vindication, yes. The only thing that you can say is to be appreciative towards the US authorities that, one, they took on this case, saw it as being important. Their whole way into this case was the fact that these people used US dollars and they did banking on US territory, so therefore they had jurisdiction. If you look at some of the other government agencies and government authorities around the world, e.g. the Swiss, they've done nothing for almost 5 years now, and you have to wonder what they're doing, but God bless America in this particular instance.
Mercedes says the investigation will cloud the event.
Even without this indictment, the issues around the 2022 World Cup were always going to be raised up until the end of the 2022 World Cup. And it doesn't matter, I think, what happens. People are always going to have doubts in their mind about how that bid was won. And at the very least, they've got a massive PR issue to deal with, whether they'll actually get people there, whether people will enjoy it. Who knows what else could possibly happen? And who knows how long the wheels of justice will take, too, because they often take a very long time.
The charges were the results of a years-long international investigation and were filed last month in U.S. court.
Stand up!
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports
right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
As millions of people find ways to stay active at home, so is International Olympic Committee Chief Thomas Bach, who had some encouraging words he posted in a video while riding on his stationary bike at home.
We all have every day to find new ways to spend this crisis. There, sport and physical activity can play an important role. An important role to get ready for the day after this crisis. So join all the Olympic athletes and me by staying active, staying strong, and staying healthy to be ready for this very day.
The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on VOAnews.com.
Coach of the Nigerian national men's rugby team. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The U.S. Tennis Association's new CEO says a decision on whether to postpone or cancel the U.S. Open because of the coronavirus pandemic is expected by June. The U.S. Open is currently scheduled from August 31st to September 13th in New York. The U.S. Tennis Association CEO, Mike Dowse, also says the prospect of holding the U.S. Open without spectators is, in his words, highly unlikely. The big tournament in New York would be the next major championship on the tennis calendar. The French Open start was postponed from May until September, and Wimbledon was canceled altogether. In a related story, the U.S. Tennis Association says it will oversee a commitment of more than $50 million in spending to help the sport weather what it describes as the devastating impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. As part of the plan, the governing body for tennis in the United States says it can save more than $20 million by reducing the salaries of top officials and eliminating programs in player development and operations. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Samson Omale joins us now with a package of African sports news. And Samson says a rising Nigerian heavyweight boxer tops his report.
Nigeria's Ife Ajagba has been listed among contenders, including New Zealand's Joseph Parker, England's Dylan White, and Derek Cesura for the vacant Commonwealth heavyweight boxing title. The elimination fights are expected to start immediately after the COVID-19 pandemic subsides. Seven other boxers are also in contention for the title. According to the Commonwealth Boxing Council, all other boxers are eligible to face the winner of Daniel Dubois versus Joe Joyce, which was earlier billed for April 11 but was postponed. And out to South Africa, where former Bafana Bafana midfielder Quinton Fortune has vehemently denied reports he has been tasked with scouting players for the English Premier League side Manchester United. Reports emerged recently that Quinton Fortune will be working alongside former national teammate Dylan Buckley to help the Red Devils identify talent in South Africa. However, Quinton Fortune, through his representative, Sarah Collins, confirmed there is no partnership between the Quinton Fortune Football Academy and any academy in the country. Elsewhere in North Africa, Cairo Giants Zamalek were fined by FIFA for not paying the late financial dues of Tunisian fullback Hamdi Naguiz, who left the club in December after a dispute over his delayed salary. Egyptian Football Association officials confirmed to local media on Wednesday that the EFA received a letter from FIFA's dispute resolution chamber on Tuesday saying that Zamalek must pay a little over $288,000 in late dues to Naguiz. In athletics news, the 2017 London Marathon champion, Kenyan Daniel Wanjiru, has strongly denied committing any doping offense, saying he has always competed clean and stood for a clean and fair sport. Dana Wanjiru said the athlete biological passport finding is confusing and frustrating him, as his management, Volare Sports, also defended a long-distance runner from the doping accusations. Athletics Integrity Unit on Tuesday provisionally suspended Wanjiru with immediate effect for an athlete biological passport violation under the World Athletic Anti-Doping Rules. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hi, my name is Daniel Igale, president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation, world and Olympic champion. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
best of music time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic style and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. And this Voice of America history note, Music Time in Africa is the VOA's longest-running English language program. It was founded in 1965 by the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkeesian. And Studio 23 at our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington is dedicated to the Music Man, Leo Sarkeesian. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The coronavirus pandemic has halted sporting events across the globe for the indefinite future. But some sports fans have been getting their fix online. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten joins us now with details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The coronavirus pandemic has become a bit of a blessing for the esports industry. Esports has enlisted some of the biggest stars to play against each other virtually, and the competitions have spiked in popularity. Stephen Hood is president of Motorsports Games, a video game company that simulates race car driving. He says the recent surge in digital sports has rapidly advanced a business model he thought would take 2 or 3 years to catch on.
I think we've very rapidly gone in 2 to 3 weeks from the concept of esports being something that people in their bedrooms do on occasion to all of a sudden being mainstream. And in many regards, the only way that you can watch motorsport, yes, it's virtual, but there's been a huge hole all of a sudden where many motorsport series the world over have closed their doors for an indefinite period of time, and people still need their fix. So instead of us having to push the concept of esports onto motorsport series and players and viewers, all of a sudden that is really the only way that they can tap into something that they love.
And online viewers can watch the sports figures they love, like Formula One drivers Lando Norris and Max Verstappen, who have both taken part in virtual races. And European stars and celebrities have signed up to play on the basketball court in a series of NBA esports games. Rebecca Valentine is a staff writer for GamesIndustry.biz. She says initially, esports events suffered the same spate of cancellations as live sporting events, but online streaming platforms came to the rescue.
There were 2 weeks where I was just writing nonstop news stories of, you know, esports event cancels all its physical events for this period of time, just, you know, that over and over again. And then very quickly the shift to now we're broadcasting all of this, we're still doing it, it's still on schedule, we're still doing it digitally, we're gonna, you know, if we were limiting who could view it before, now we're not, we're putting it absolutely everywhere, you know, Twitch, YouTube, like all these platforms.
Twitch is dominating the streaming market and recorded a near 60% jump in viewership last month. And networks like ESPN, Sky Sports, and Fox Sports are filling their programming gaps with esports competitions. Stephen Hood says live streaming is the best option fans currently have, and he's making sure the virtual experience is as close to real life as possible.
This is as close as you can get to the real thing without having the danger of reality. the method of interaction through a steering wheel and pedals is a lot closer to the actual concept of driving than playing, FIFA, the soccer game, using a control pad. So this is where you're seeing drivers cross over into the virtual world, because they will be practicing in the team simulators where they have them. This is really no different. It's the same concepts, the same theory, and the same sense of engagement, which is why there's been a huge uptake. This is as close as you can get.
However, nothing beats the real thing. And according to Rebecca Valentine, not everyone in the esports industry is seeing a boom.
It was starting to push for more physical events. We were starting to hear about people investing in arenas and, investing in these physical spaces. The Overwatch League, this was supposed to be a really big year for them. They were going to have all of their homestand games and have, games in multiple cities across the world, actually at home physical games that people in those team cities could go to that were just right there. And that was a huge deal for them and a very exciting thing. And obviously they can't do that now.
Well, for now, Stephen Hood says he hopes esports has proven itself and will continue long after the lockdown is over.
As you've seen, it's incredibly popular. There are hundreds of thousands of people tuning in to watch these broadcasts, be it on Twitch and YouTube. When you get the backing of a real motorsport series, the numbers go through the roof. So what I do hope is that when we do return to normality, the big businesses, sponsors, broadcasters, motorsport series themselves will think, there's something to be done here in a world of esports.
Sports leagues around the globe continue to hold talks on how to move forward with competitions in the coming weeks. In the meantime, instead of a real-life soccer match, Electronic Arts and FIFA are staging a virtual Stay and Play Cup tournament that is going on right now through April 19th. And that is all from me for today and for the week. Sonny, I'll hand it back over to you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
My name is Joshua Cheptegei of Uganda, a world champion, a Devil Commons Games champion, a world cross country champion, a three-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K. My message to the athletes all over the world and other people is that keep a distance and follow the guidelines given to you by your governments and the health ministries, because the COVID-19 is really a serious disease.
Serious realities indeed, Joshua. That's Uganda's world champion distance runner, Joshua Cheptegei. Last year in Doha, Joshua became the first Ugandan athlete to win the world championship gold medal at 10,000 meters. And here are a few fun facts about Joshua Cheptegei. He grew up, like more than a few African boys and girls, playing football. When he turned to athletics, he first tried the long jump and triple jump, but Joshua realized at primary school he was best suited to running. And next year, Joshua hopes to be running for his first Olympic gold medal at the Tokyo Games in Japan. I think Joshua has to be considered one of the favorites for a place on the Olympic podium. And that wraps up the April 17th edition of the show. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
said.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.